Thomas Jones.
Eric Hollerbach.
We're in the back of Buddha Belly.
Indeed we are.
Chilling, you know. I've been realizing more and more of revelations about your sex life from your stand-up. Can we talk about P-tarps? Can we talk about...
We can talk about P-tarps.
How you've gone pro.
I don't know. I feel like ever since I moved out of my mom's house, like, things have been more open for me. I'm willing to say yes more.
Yeah?
Like...
Your mom was a naysayer?
No, I mean, like, you can't
She was like, don't pee on that girl here.
No, you can't go
we
to
have
some...
nice
I'm
things.
Just saying, you can't go to somebody's house, pee on them, and then go home and look your mom in the face. Like, I feel like I let her down.
Like, you didn't pee on somebody, did
you? Like, I get to go home to my own house, shower in shame, and, like, just sleep it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like a baptism every time you shower and shave at your mom's house. And you don't want too many sins to go down the drain.
Nah, man.
Particularly when you were just at Algiers Point peeing on a girl on her tarp in front of her husband because they love that shit. While they watch anime porn. And they, like, flick each other's ears. And then you're peeing on one of them. You know what I mean?
It's... I can see how this is escalating.
You get, like, more and more... It's like a doctor, like, specializes more and more. He's like, now I'm just a podiatrist. I only deal with feet. I'm not into the rest of the body. Let me just, you know, take off your bunions and say, get the fuck out of my office. You're just, like, peeing on white girls who are disappointed with their white husband who is too old for Viagra. I mean, what's going on? What's your specialty? Who's your clientele, Thomas?
I don't know. I don't think I have a specialty. Like, I'm to the point where I'm just, like, willing to try everything once.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Podcasting. So I had to deal with my own boundaries. I just did this Shep Kelly roast. You know, let's play some.
Best comedian coming to the stage. Your last comedian coming to the stage. Recently got his MFA from UNO, but nobody gives a shit. So make some noise for Eric Hollerbach. Nobody gives a shit about your lame ass fucking grad degree. Fuck you.
Keep it going for DC Paul, Shep Kelly. Oh, what a beautiful. Beautiful lady. Shep Kelly looks like she gets a monthly check from the NFL for concussion syndrome.
I'm moving soon, you know. You had some fun in Denver. I'm going to Denver for 4 days.
Denver's
you were
fun.
Just in Denver.
Yes.
What advice do you have for me with the comedy scene in Denver, bro? What should I do?
First things first, just at every open mic. Tell them you're find the person running the mic and tell them that you're from out of town. And they'll put you up early. So you don't get, like, stuck in the sea of, like, everybody just showing up. And you're a new face, so they're not going to put you up because, you know. But you put, hey, I'm from out of town. I'm doing comedy from out of town. They'll definitely bump you up. Make friends. Get to know a lot of people. You know, everybody up there is so nice. They're very accepting. They're very cool. And, you know, you're just talking to them for a little bit, and they're like, okay, yeah, tomorrow there's this place. You hit up that place. Then you go over here, and you sign up, and then you go, and then, you know.
Should I, like, hit up, like, the cuck scene? Is that, like, a way? Is there a crossover?
I don't know, man. I haven't really.
What if I'm peeing on girls who are married to humiliate them and their 401ks, you know? What?
Humiliate them in their 401ks.
Yeah, like, they, like, plan for retirement later, and then this guy's been putting into that for 13 years. And then the girl's like, yo, actually, I want this black guy to pee on me on my tarp and humiliate this 401k that you've been saving
for our retirement.
What if they got
a pension instead of 401k?
I'm just saying there's, like, different ways to invest. There's different ways to invest, and if they're white, it's probably a 401k.
No, it could be a pension.
I don't know.
A lot of white people work for the government.
Look, I only know a few white people, so most of them banned me from the high hub. We're not friends. Thomas Jones, how do I make friends? How would you... So I'm leaving. I'm never going to see... There's a lot of people in New Orleans I burn bridges with.
Good.
Right?
Right.
I'm moving on. Is there... Should I send my enemies a card? Should I give them a little ice cream from Baskin Robbins? What should I do?
Hire a mariachi band.
Yeah?
Just put it, like, just send it to any open mic or show that you don't like and just hire them to play, like, during the whole show. I feel like that's a very fitting Eric Hollerback goodbye.
Yeah.
Just loud and obnoxious. Like,
if they got $600 for the night and I say no matter what happens, you're either outside playing as loud as possible. Unless you're arrested,
keep playing.
You should stay there.
Right. Just disrupt as much, like, cause shit, dude.
All right. Can I talk to Kyle real quick?
Go for it.
Kyle.
What's happening?
You did a little stand-up the other night.
I did.
And you were talking about... You were talking about... one time you were stripping.
Yeah.
And people kept putting money out. You were doing some boylesque.
Yeah.
People kept putting more and more money out.
Right.
And then eventually they were like, okay, I gave you like $35, $40.
Uh-huh.
Can I get in this B-hole?
That, right.
And it came to that time of the night after boylesque was over. People were still hanging around. What's up, Byron? People still hanging around.
Yeah, I mean, I just assumed that if that would have happened, they would have want my B-hole, but it didn't happen. It didn't come up, you know, but I'm pretty sure if somebody would have wanted to pay 20, that's exactly what they were implying, that, hey, since I got to see your dick, can I get some of that asshole?
So,
and
like...
Nah.
Like, this podcast goes all over. It's like, if your B-hole had a number...
It would be more than 20.
Okay, what? How much is it?
I don't know how much. I don't know how much, man. I'm delicate, yo.
Okay, talk to...
I'm small, you can rough hand me.
Okay, listen to me.
How many figures?
Listen to me. I know a guy called Mohammed from Dubai. You know, he's like a Dubai prince. Like, any number might sound ridiculous, but it's like, to them, it's like nothing. So, like, what? How much is your B-hole?
I don't know, man. That's like my manhood, yo. You can't just... I can't put a cost on that. I can't just put a cost on my goddamn
I'm saying, like, in 2017 dollars. You know, it's like stocks go up and down. I'm just saying,
if we had a fight for the manhole, if we had a fight for the manhole and you beat me and you took my asshole, then okay, then boom, you take it. But, nah, I'm not just about to go ahead and accept money for you to go ahead and take it. No, you got to fight for this asshole. Nah, that's what I'm
saying. All right. How about a scheduled MMA bout, loser gets beholed.
Man, that's just like that wrestling shit with them chicks. Nah, man.
What's your purse? What's your guaranteed? What's if your B-hole gets taken?
I see how you did this. I see how you did that. All right, you bitch. That's good. That's good. Man, it had to be these Conor McGregor numbers. These McGregor or Mayweather numbers, man. It got to be up there.
What, $170 million?
That's a good number. That is a really good number. That's a really good number. If I lose, I get that money? I mean, if I win, I get that money too?
Yeah, if you win, you don't have to get raped.
And but, I get that money.
Okay, $117 million guaranteed. If you get raped, it's an extra $50,000.
What? But nah, I'm not trying to lose, though.
Right.
I could just say, fuck that $50,000. I would just want the $117 million.
Right, but you're...
And then I get that asshole. I get his asshole.
Oh, wow. Conor McGregor?
No, whoever so I'm... No, you. Wait. No, you can't... Bitch, you can't just slip that in there like that. That's
right,
cheating.
Demetrius Johnson. He's a 125
That
now.
Is terrible, son. You definitely can't put me up. It got to be somebody normal. It has to be somebody of higher upper class.
I can do this.
That's a high class, dude. He's
whatever
pound for
weight
pound.
Class he's at.
He's pound. He's my weight class.
As is.
That's pound for pound, though, man. That's no. I can't. I'm sorry.
What's but your guarantee? You have what's if they get
$117 million? It would have to be Demetrius Johnson.
Who gets that boho though?
I'm fighting to the death, yo. We're not. I don't care. I'm gouging eyes, man. I'm kneeing to the balls. I'm headlocking.
So that night, that guy, he pulled your Speedo back. He put $20
in. He pulled it back.
He looked down at the dick. He looked down at the
dick. And then he was like, here, $5 more. I was like, oh, I appreciate
it. So he gave you $25 to, like, because you got a peek in.
Well.
Now, that night, how much was your beehole for that gentleman particularly?
There was no price on that beehole that night.
All right. He shows you, like, $8,000 in cash.
$8,000 in cash? Not at the fucking foxhole we was at. It was a fucking terrible place. No, but I'm saying
that night, though. What if he was just bringing no $8,000? Bam.
Man, wow. He could have brought $8,000, and I'd be like, man, I'll lay next to you and shit, you know, if you want me to.
If
man,
you
want to
rub it on
I let
my
you
face.
Touch it, you know, if you want to touch it and
wait,
such,
what
go
was,
ahead.
What was up for that $8,000?
What?
Not
I mean,
your
no. 117 million, son. 117 million fight
That's
to the death.
That's your guaranteed money.
Fight to the death. 117 million fight to the death.
My number is so much lower, and I have ridiculous hemorrhoids. You know what I'm saying?
That's terrible. That's gonna wreck that asshole and
wreck your rectum.
And you're so much lower on your money. Like Wreck It Ralph, what they gonna do with that asshole? They're gonna wreck it. You don't want that. You don't want that at all.
Chef Kelly drives for Uber and she wears flip flops, basketball shorts, and a wife beater. Her passengers think she's a deadbeat Florida dad.
Brian Augustus.
Yeah.
So, This Highway Diary is a podcast. We're just going to talk about some loosey-goosey stuff.
Awesome.
I think I've known you for maybe 1 year. Is that right?
It sounds about right, yeah.
You've been doing the comedy circuit pretty hard. You're telling your little stories.
Yeah, coming up on a birthday in October.
What?
Yeah.
How old are you turning?
Well, no, that'll be the first year I've been doing comedy. It's also the year of my or the month of my birthday, but it's a year in comedy, too.
I have an October birthday.
Oh, really? I'm the 7th.
I'm the 31st.
What?
Yeah,
Halloween.
For real.
Halloween it, baby.
Got a Halloween there.
Right?
And sometimes it gets me in trouble.
I can see that.
Around jack-o'-lantern.
Peek-a-boo.
And certain pharmacies.
It's very particular.
The herbal medication ones.
Right.
I'm
right.
Like, yeah,
all
where's
natural.
I want dick pills with no side effects that are right. Mostly like oregano. What do you got for me?
Right. Nothing from the Asian countries, preferably.
I'm down with rhino horn.
Oh, all right. That sounds pretty hard.
All right. So, Brianna, you saw an interesting period of my life. You saw me graduate.
I did.
Your
I
main
did.
Hustle is photography.
Yeah.
Trying to, you know, you're doing the comedy thing,
right?
As a
right.
passion. How long have you been doing photography? So you took a picture of me graduating.
I did. Okay. I did. I took. I took the one. Well, I took two actually. I got here before and the year after.
Oh wow!
And then my friend was getting the during. So.
Did I look? Which one did I look fatter in?
None of them. We always get the angles. So when you're up. Or, like, before you go on stage, we get that angle.
Yeah,
the only
yeah.
ones we get the full frontal is, like, before when you have the gown on and everything. But
it's
it
very
just
slimming.
Looks like the gown.
The
yeah.
black is very slimming.
Right, yeah.
Everyone's
balloons
wearing
out. Nobody knows how big you are under this.
Who's got a potato sack underneath right. that? Nobody knows.
Right. You never know. You do have the girls that will, like, zip it halfway up, though, so their dress sticks out, and it's
yeah.
like, honey,
they
just
got
for
some
the picture.
Cleavage.
Right. It's like, just for the picture. Just
no, but my tits look good in this dress, so I'm going to keep it zipped down. Thank
right.
you.
It's like,
because I
right.
paid for these tits.
Right. And I guess you're not going to pay for this picture.
So what's your cut? No. Every photo?
Well, it's not every photo. It's every gig. So, like, that week I did your graduation, and I did, like, 5 or 6 other ones.
Okay,
and so, like, you get paid
Southern
like, yeah.
University was there too, right?
I didn't do Southern. I did LSU. I did Lafayette, UL Lafayette, and then
UL Lafayette.
Yeah,
was in the same building.
No, it was in Lafayette,
oh,
and
wow.
it was at the Cajun Dome. I thought Lafayette was like 45 minutes away. This part of Lafayette was like 2.5-3 hours away, and that
Damn.
Was unexpected. And so I got a flat tire on the way. It was a whole. Bundle of shenanigans. So
it's the problem with being an artist,
right,
you know, and
yeah.
photography and comedy. It's all about flat tires
right.
and bullshit.
Yep, nobody coming through. People still in the little that you do have. That's all how it goes. I got robbed last week, so
what?
I can say that.
You got robbed?
Yeah, I was just chilling because I found out that morning I had arthritis, and so I needed an upper, so I came to do comedy, ran into an unflattering experience. Then I decided to do karaoke to cheer me up again that night, and I was chilling outside, and some guy was like pushing blow. And he, like, pushed something in my face, and I sneezed, and I blew it everywhere. I was like, that's not how you do it. And he got pissed and grabbed my purse and, like, threw it on the ground. Like, I didn't say that to him. This is all in my head. And I didn't actually blow it everywhere. But sure. He just, like, kept stuffing it in my nose, and when I kept shooing him away, he, like, grabbed my purse, threw it on the ground, and my phone went missing forever. So there are always those people hanging around.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. This ex, did you make a mac and cheese one time, and did he at his house?
No, this is a different one. Okay. That guy lived in a shack. This guy lived in a shelter. Very big difference.
A homeless shelter?
Yes.
Those are the guys where you're like, I can fix him. I can bring him back in society.
Yeah, let's rehabilitate. I'm all about like civil rights, prisoner rights, you know. The scum of the earth, right? Everybody matters.
You got a triple felony for stabbing everybody.
Right. I believe there's hope. You know, take a stab at it.
But you're a tattoo artist, so you like stabbing needles.
Right.
Everything's gonna go perfect.
Right.
Let's get married. Let's move in the house on a hill.
Yeah. You'll never get to heroin from tattoo artists, so keeping you safe on the sheltered side of life.
So. All right. So you were... You just got the arthritis.
Yeah.
So you need an upper. I mean,
right.
That's what happened.
Yeah. So my uppers nowadays are real sad. It's like, for uppers, I'll, like, give my dog a belly rub and, like, pretend that she's, like, talking to me during it. It's like she'll perk up and then she'll just roll her eyes to the side. And I'm just like, she's like, you, Mom, are the best. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And I'll talk back and I'll complete the dialogue. And it's a real sad picture because my cat is just sitting, like, cynically on the bed, just, like, watching. Like, that is so pathetic.
But so, it's your, what you're saying is that's your therapy dog.
Right.
You can either use uppers or you can realize how nice it is to rub the belly of your little loved one, your little pit bull.
Yeah, she's a shelter dog. She's like a mini greyhound mix, and she's real cute. Like, I've been looking for a new place to live now, and people are like, no pets allowed, and they're like, except for cats, maybe. And I'm like, I do have a dog. They're like, no dogs, and then I'm like, this is my dog. She's like... pathetic, and they're like, oh, she doesn't count. She's like an overgrown rat. Is she like, she's like standard, not standard, she's weird.
So you're like, no dog's interesting. Do you want to cuddle with her for real quick? Because she's actually a therapy dog, so if you have any issues, you can tell her and she'll nod and she'll understand.
Well, I'm the one that rescued her and did her therapy for the first 4 or 5 years of having her, so now it's my turn.
Right.
And so, I mean, I do talk to her, but she rolls her eyes a lot. She has attitude. She'll just ignore me. So it's cool. She's like, scratch my belly. I'm gonna lay in the corner now. Call me later.
Yeah, but you can, like, say whatever you need to say to a dog as you scratch their belly. And
that's
stick
true.
Around.
Yeah. I'll call her a loser sometimes because she'll be trying to get rubbed, but she'll step on my feet, so I'll back up. And then rub her some more, she'll step back on my feet. And I'm like, what are you doing here? Yeah. What are you trying to accomplish? So
I'm doing a joke recently about some ghetto medicine I saw.
Oh, okay.
Some guys, they crashed. I saw two guys crash on dirt bikes. They were doing wheelies on dirt bikes.
Oh, wow.
On St. Bernard. Mm-hmm. And they crash. And then I drive by, and one guy's knocked out against a tree. And they're doing, like, ghetto doctor stuff. One of them was like, sit on his feet. As I'm driving by, I hear this. They're like, sit on his feet. I'm like, and they're like, why? And he's like, I don't know. My dog does it. It's natural. It makes me feel good. So your dog knows about that.
Yeah.
What does sitting on your feet do to, like, for therapy purposes?
Just makes your feet go numb. I don't know.
It's like you're in pack.
Right. It's like initiation. It's kind of like marking their territory. I and my friend, like my cat, will like we nuzzle noses together, and so like I'll be like, "Are you mad at me?" And like he'll like hesitate and he'll look away and then he'll look back and like I'll move my nose away and I'm like, I'm not about it either. And then he'll start nudging my shoulder and I'll be like, I'm not gonna look at you, and he'll be like reaching up with his nose and I'm like and I'll give him a little bit and he's just like and I'm like, all right, fine. But you know, they speak your language.
They speak body language.
right, they definitely do. Because when I'm mad at him, he like gives no nuzzles.
Wow.
And like goes the other way though too. He'll do something bad and he knows I'm mad at him, so he'll just like try to nudge him, like nuzzle me, and I'm like, no nuzzles for you.
Let me get back to this topic. I asked you earlier about photography background. So what's your photography background, you know?
I've been taking, well, I feel like it doesn't count, but I've been taking pictures since, like, I was, like, 10. Like, at family gatherings, I was the one doing the photos for the album later. And so I just always liked it. And then I got to middle school, high school, and I still did photos all the time. But, like, I then realized one day when somebody was telling a story about their childhood that I don't remember anything before I was like 12. And I was like, dang, nothing. And so I would look back at pictures and I'm like, that looks familiar because I'm looking at it. So I must have been there, but I didn't remember anything. And I was just like, do normal people remember their childhoods? It seems like they do. And so photography for me has been kind of like capture everything you can, because otherwise you'll never know what happens. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, so now I do, I guess since college and all that.
You gotta know where you came from.
Right, and if you don't know, you just don't know. You get to make it up.
One time I fought a tree.
Right, and I won.
Birch tree. It was coming at me, it was flapping and flopping in a tornado, and so I threw a right cross, like Mike Tyson, come right off his hinges.
Right. That's pretty much how it goes. You know, people are like, resumes, they're so like confining, like that's not me, like I can't put all of me on a piece of paper. I'm like, all of me literally is on a piece of paper. Like, if it's not on a piece of paper, if it can't fit on a piece of paper, it didn't happen for me. So
right,
it's weird, but yeah, that's what photography is. But I do graduations for money and marathons and stuff. And, like, even photography, so, like,
it's like, yeah. You know, sometimes a band does a bar mitzvah to stay alive,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
They need that. They need the people taking pictures. It makes them feel like they're engaged in something and they should still be there because they'll be famous one day.
Birthday party, whatever it is.
Right, yeah, random. I work for a chef and she'll, like, have food laid out. And I'm like, all right, I'll take these pictures. But, like, she'll do an event that she wants me to photograph. But all she's really serving is, like, I don't know. I don't want to say exactly what it is. I'll say jelly beans and, I don't know, hot tamale candy. It'll be something like that at an event that we're just serving. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you want pictures of this? Do you want to remember this? Because she makes
like
gourmet
so
dishes and everything.
She's
and then
like,
she'll
hey,
have, like,
this food
things.
Is so good. It's like a moment almost.
Right,
so.
Right.
Do you want to keep it down? I'm trying to smuck out here.
Thanks, Kia.
You're welcome.
Be that person. I can still see you.
Audio, podcasting. You know?
Right, yeah, audio. It's real hard to get.
So what have you been learning with stand-up about stand-up? Like, it's tough, you know. Sometimes you bomb, you go out there, mm-hmm. and you're like, hey, let me try this art out. But it's never like you do a gallery of your photos and people go around and go, you know, you don't have it. Like, that doesn't really happen after in a photo gallery, you know.
That's true. They whisper it to other people.
She doesn't have it.
Right.
No, my cousin, she took like 4 photos. She had it. She stopped. This girl doesn't have it. My retarded granddaughter in the Hamptons has it. Because I saw the power of her retouch through the photo. And,
that's a readout. That's how
you don't have it. I went to your gallery.
Right.
But at stand-up, it's like, I've got that vibe loads of times.
Right.
This guy doesn't have it. He doesn't have it.
You can see it on their faces. They're mouthing it. You can, it's like, it's bright up here, but I can still see you.
Like, what was, like, the worst show was the best show?
Worst show ever. that would be about 75% of all my work. No, not really. I'm trying to think what was the... It wasn't really the show. It was the worst interaction I've ever had after a show. Because I had this guy at Bar Redux, and he went up there, told this awkward story, and it was very uncomfortable, and people were just like, why are you up there? Anyway, this is the guy that then comes up to me after my set, or just outside, whatever, and he comes up and he's like, you had some good stuff going. I was like, oh, thank you. He's like, but I think you don't need to be the one saying it. I think you just need to be like a ghostwriter. Like, would you ghostwrite like my jokes, and then like I'll go up and say them? Or like, you can either do that for like a big network, like you have the sort of potential, but yeah, you should just like ghostwrite. I was like, oh, so what you're telling me is me as an African-American female, I write some funny stuff, but I'm not capable enough to deliver it in any capacity.
I like what you said, but your face really annoyed me.
Yeah. And I was like, really? And he was like, yeah, because, you know, you have all these pretty women and they'll go and do comedy, and then they have these dorky guys following them and then doing comedy thinking they can do it, and then they make fools of themselves. And he like went on this rant, and it was like I wasn't there anymore, and I was like, this is awkward. So I was like, is that why you went up tonight? Because I was like, you're so bombed. Anyway, and he was just like, oh, I didn't even realize the parallel I drew there, but no, that's not what I meant. And I was like, you're weird. I don't like you.
It's always the people who are the worst are like, yeah. I have a lot of philosophy around this. Let's talk about Nietzsche. Let's talk about Jungian philosophy.
Yeah.
And then you get up and they're like, airports.
Yeah.
Boy, what's the deal with car alarms? It's like, someone just steal that car already because, anyway, look, I'm sorry, my son's texting me. Mm-hmm. It's like, they get on stage, and it's ridiculously awful.
Yeah.
And they have, like, a lot of notes.
Yeah, and I hate judging people who are being like, you're terrible. So, like, even to him, I wouldn't say he's terrible, but I will say that was a very awkward set. And he just told this sad story about kids, like, picking on him when he was little, and how they would do all these horrible jokes to him, and he would, like, describe the jokes in detail, and then be like, yeah, it sucked. I was so sad. I, like, cried and pretended to be sick for 3 days, and it was just like, where was the joke in there? Are we supposed to be, like, sad? Are we supposed to be crying? Is this group therapy? Right. Like, and it was just, and then he just ended, and he was, like, laughing to himself, like, ha! It was just awkward. It was off. I was like, really? Really? So, that was a little
It's like that guy just, like, his wife dies, and he's just, like, smiling through his insurance job for, like, 3 years. Right. He's like, ha! I'm fine! And then again, he's like, I'm going to do comedy because I'm hilarious.
I have hope.
Like, here's what you need to do. Like, it's
my wife never thought I could make it, but now she's dead and she can't tell me otherwise. And it's like, I'm so sorry. Like, so I don't know. I don't know.
So, it seems like your journey's over. Mine's beginning. Let's not talk.
Right, right. Just around the river bend. So beyond. But that was one of the worst after show.
Yeah, Sacagawea is like a point of figure.
Sacagawea, though, really, I dressed up like every other kid. Like when we were little, we had this fifth grade project where everybody had to choose like a historical figure and dress up like them and do a report of them. So you have people doing like Thomas Jefferson, I own slaves, and then like Abraham Lincoln, I used to own slaves. And then you had like somebody being like Betty Ross, like it was. Just like,
I'm Thomas Jefferson.
Right.
I have never cleaned my own clothes.
Right.
I've never seen my own laundry or cooked my own food.
Right.
Life as a white man is really difficult.
And then you had me, the only black girl in the school at that time. This is a K-12 school. I'm in fifth grade, only color person in that whole joint. And, like, I show up at Sacagawea. And, like, I like, got this stuff from Goodwill. My mom helped me draw, like, authentic, like, Native American symbols on the jacket. And we cut it like tassels. And then I got up there with my index cards. And, like, my mom had my hair braided. I'm sure I was cute, but I don't remember exactly. But all I do remember is I got up there with my index cards. I had them in front of my face, and they were the small ones, not the big ones, so they weren't covering anything. And I just was like, Sacagawea, and I just started crying, and I just turned around to face the blackboard, and I just, like, heaved, like, just dry heaved, and my teacher was like, you got it, and I was just like, and I just, like, cried through my index cards for, like, it felt like forever, and then I just went and sat down and put my head down and cried the rest of the class, and my teacher was like, you passed, honey, you passed.
You tapped into the emotions of history, which I think made it present for people.
Yeah, I'm sure they understood.
I would have liked you to have gotten more information out about Sacagawea.
In America! That was it. That was it.
Because you did kind of help people discover the West. Louisiana Purchase, like, it was a big deal.
Specifically, yeah.
But they didn't really know what the landscape looked like, and she kind of translated for people, and yada yada.
Yeah, she kind of had, like, Squanto status.
She was a woman, and it was a tough job, especially back then, to be a frontiers woman,
right,
and a Native American.
Helping to take down your own people, eventually. You never knew.
And I'm sure people would be like, she was actually transgender. Like, if they read it, they would be like, yeah, she wanted a dick, though. Like,
Sokka is actually the male prefix to for Native Sokka, American name.
She wanted, because she was a frontiers man. That's who she identified with. She walked through them, and she just wanted to peg somebody.
She made the two men feel safe.
Yeah. But there was an interesting entry in her diary where she had a dowel penis that was made out of bamboo, and she actually pegged a beaver. But she said she was building a dam, but if you look between the lines...
Between the beaver dam.
She was kind of a lesbian, though.
Kind of. She's kind of like a head chiefess.
Yeah.
Right, not really.
So she was, like, into the whole Lewis and Clark masculinity, and she, like, did both of them a few times, but then it was, like, the pig and the beaver was, like, set her free. So, I don't want to just start history to get fucked up, but I'm pretty sure that's one.
Right, pretty sure that was part of it.
But you were about to eat her pain.
I did. I tried to. I did my very best to play the ethnic role. Did my very best, people, I remember arguing, it was like a friendly second grade argument with my best friend at the time, Mercedes, and we were arguing because she was mixed, her mom was white, and her dad was was black, and like, I didn't know my dad, but I saw, like, a weird picture of him once, and, like, my mom's black, and so, like, but we were the same color, and so, like, she was like, yeah, I'm mixed to somebody, and I was like, oh, I'm mixed too, look. She was like, that's not how mixed work. And she never explained how mixed work, and I was ignorant, so I just kept arguing her down. I was like, we're both mixed. Open your eyes. Like, holding my arm up. Like, look, we're exactly... I'm even lighter than you. I'm lighter than you. Like, and she was just like, you don't even get how mixed work. But she never explained it, so I don't think she knew either. I think she just wanted to argue.
Wow.
So,
you just called her out.
Yeah, I did. Well, I wish I had. Instead... She was just like, you don't even know what you're talking about. I was like, well, neither do you. And then we had a sleepover. So it was a real cool time.
Macaroni salad.
Oh, no. They're just macaroni and cookies.
Let's talk about your love life. Last time I talked to you on the podcast, it was the Dante Hale episode.
Right.
Maybe we were doing drugs together. That I don't know what that means. But anyway, we were talking about Paul Joseph. Coming on to you sexually many times.
But that never happened.
But I witnessed it several times, and I said to you, what do you think about this scenario? And what do you think? What are his chances right now?
I mean, it's kind of like if you never try something, then you never have a chance to succeed at it.
So, but he... mostly,
hypothetically,
you've been dating convicts mostly who are in halfway houses. Okay, so let's be honest. Like, Paul Joseph, like, he graduated college, you know what I mean?
He did get a house recently.
He has a house. He lives by himself. He lives with Kyle, you know?
Yeah.
So you'd be in his bedroom, and then Kyle would try to get to his bedroom and then walk through your bedroom. and kind of a railway house. Yeah. But maybe they could put a sock on the door. You know, maybe
he
they
lives
could.
He close to the kitchen. His room's in the back, so technically, Kyle, oh. only if Kyle has the munchies.
She has to make sure. Hey, Kyle, I'm going to give you some Chinese food. And here's a pee bucket. Pee in this. Here's the food. You don't have to go in the kitchen.
You'll be fine. Just eat out of this trough. I'll be gone soon.
So is Paul Joseph going to be eating you out? What's going on?
No.
Are you doing it?
Oh, no. I don't do premarital relations.
You guys were
anymore.
Looking through a bucket of condoms. So
had jazzy pictures.
So I ran up to you guys. I was like, hey, Brianna, we got a podcast. And you and Paul Joseph, you know, we're looking through condoms. I don't know which ones he could fit into or out of or, you know, what's going on there. But
kind of breakthrough could happen. They had this colorful bucket of condoms. And I was like, are these free condoms? And so naturally, Paul flocked there because he was like, I like free stuff. And condoms are cool, too. And so then we were like, they have little messages on them. So, like, one would have, like, lips and say, like, bite one. They all used the word one in them. And so, like, another one had, like, a keyboard and it was just, like, pencil one in. And, like, so it was, like, little nerdy puns like that. And he was just, like, improvising off of each one. So it was, like, a comedy exercise, really.
Yeah.
Nothing sexual about condoms.
It's not, like, the gateway drug. It's not just, like...
No.
Hey, we like comedy again, man.
We do comedy and we like condoms. Let's talk.
You want to know about my boners?
Right.
They fit in these condoms, though.
Right. You know, it really turns me on.
All right.
Watching,
well, this is
yeah.
a developing story. I don't want to embarrass you, but from a distance,
not.
I've been witnessing this, and I want to embarrass you. I mean, I didn't say that. I don't want to embarrass you. Yeah.
I appreciate it. You know, I did recently have a weird dream, though, because I've been watching a lot of The Nanny with Fran Drescher and her accent. And I've seen that series all the way through. I own it. It's a beautiful life. And so, like, you know, the whole thing's like Fran and Mr. Sheffield or whatever. And they know each other for years. And there are all these hints along the way. People are saying stuff. And they were like, nah! I feel like that's how it's going to be. But we're gonna be going on like season 150.
You'll be like, he's gonna be like, hey, do you want to come to Hawaii with me as a friend? And you'll be like, sure. And then you'll be like, oh, this pineapple. Look at all these baboons.
Yeah.
Mr.
Then,
Joseph, I didn't notice your sea captain outfit until now. Are you coming ashore? You want to plow my oyster? Let me look at your wiener. What am I saying? This
That's
was in the
much.
In the pretext the whole time.
Yeah, the whole audience knew. Wake up!
Everyone knew I was gonna chef your oyster.
Right. Yeah, no, it was. It's like, it's like The Nanny never ending. Let's call it that. Still ongoing, right?
Wow. Well, all right. This story's developing. I'm just kind of like dipping in the middle of it. That's the midpoint. You're going on stage soon, so we're gonna.
I am.
So I'm gonna record that. All right.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
So well, let's continue on with Brianna doing some stand up.
Yay!
Brianna does this.
So I want to make all four of you feel very awkward right now. I'm a woman.
Yeah.
One of two in here. We'll do a vag bump later. I go to the gynecologist a lot. One too many vag bumps. You gotta vaccinate those things, baby. HPV is rampant and incurable, FYI. It's the educational part of the program, because women read. That or they just go to appointments and they listen. They read everything they sign. Those are important. I don't really read that much, though. Most of my news comes from the people I talk to on a regular basis, which means comedians, a wealth of knowledge there. My doctors, they're legit, sorta. I don't know. And then the other group of people is just like the people I agree to date. That's where I get my information about how the world's doing. And right now we're in a bloody apocalypse. All right. Because my dating life is atrocious. Like, they say love is a battlefield. We're looking at a massacre here. All right. Blood everywhere. It's not period blood. All right. Sorry. Female jokes. But yeah, like, I recently had a really bad week. Just a really bad week. Last week, specifically. It involved me running into an ex of mine, but you should know something about this ex of mine because we were never really dating. All right, we met at a comedy show. We hung out. It was cool. Then we hung out a couple times after that. Apparently, we dated for 3 weeks. I don't think if you know somebody for 3 weeks, you can say you're dating unless you explicitly had a conversation saying we're dating. But anyway, so this guy last time, we were hyphen dating. And he lived in a shelter, which is not a bad thing, necessarily. Really, it just simplifies Netflix and chilling. It's like, my place, my place. Cool. Awesome, glad we solved that. Communication's great. But it's not, because last time we had spoke before we ran into each other, it was at a comedy show that I went to relieve my nerves after finding out I had arthritis that morning from my doctor. Smart person, knows what a herniated disc is. So, plus four. anyway, I ran into, like, shelter dude here, and he was like, I think we still have something. I was like, I think you still live on the street. my standards have gone up. Like, just to say, like, I do make a lot of poor choices. Like, politics, we love to talk about those in public, so we got, like, poor, like, I ruined that, I'm sorry. We have, like, pro-choice people, and then we got, like, no-choice people, but I'm just, like, pro-poor-choice. Like, we're not party people then. And so that's pretty much, he was a part of that. And it didn't go that well. He was like, oh, we should hang out. And I was like, this is your chance to make a better decision. And instead I was like, let's talk Wednesday. Let's meet in a park, public place. See, I was making smart decisions. But really, a gauge and like my standard, like, it went up a little bit. Because normally I would have been like, let's chill tonight. I put like 48 hours in between us.
Wow.
But really, like a gauge, like one of my general standards for men was like they had to have a printer, like just a working printer. But they also had to have extra ink with it. Okay. That's what I call a man that knows how to store up nuts for the winter. Am I right? No, but it says a lot about his ethics. Like, he knows how to plan for the future. Plan for the future, something I don't do. Not real big in a preventative care. What up? You guys kind of just joke. That's what I was looking for in this guy. He lived in a shelter. He didn't have a working printer, but I let my standards go loosey-goosey for a night. And it turned into a nightmare. So that wasn't where I wanted to go with that. But I did get robbed that night, just to switch gears a little bit. It's been a great week. And they stole my phone. They were trying to push blow on me, and I didn't know how to do blow, so he stuffed it in my nose, and I sneezed, and it went everywhere, and he like, got pissed that I didn't want to buy blow from him. And I was like, well, you should have a manual when you offer this stuff to people. Because when I blow and you offer me blow, don't stop like that. I feel like it's a song. Just like that. All right, I'll figure it out later. Google knows me. So, what do I actually want to talk about? Oh, but that dude. So we hung out Wednesday, and I invited him back to my place because I like smart people, myself. Anyway, he came back over, we watched Frasier, and then Dave Chappelle. It was a cool time. He's a little, like, tall, lanky dude that does, like, caricatures in the corner. Long hair, shelter, of course, that's a very key point. But that night, he spent the night, and I had a hard time sleeping. And I was like, maybe it's because you're struggling with the fact that you shouldn't be here with this guy right now. And then I was like, well, we're not doing anything. Like, I slapped him away like 3 times and he's still here. Like, I'm making good decisions right now. But then I went to sleep, and like, he had, like, one of the last things like we talked about was how he got a kitten. I think he was trying to show me his sensitive side. They got a kitten that my neighbors left behind, so I feed it. I was like, thank you, so good. You're not letting a kitten starve. Good job. Just what I'm looking for. And so I was talking about this kitten that he got and how cute she was and blah, blah, blah. I have a cat named Oliver. He's amazing. He's like Garfield. Side note. But anyway, all this fast forward, I had a dream that night. I never remember my dreams. Never, ever. Except this time. And a couple other nightmares. But this one specifically, we were in my mom's house in Tennessee. Plantation style homes. Nice windows. It's a nice house. It's cool. But we were upstairs and like they have these kind of window seats on either side of like a random wall when you walk in or whatever. And for some reason, like they're just regular windows, but in my dream they had like stained glass on them. They're like portraits of like some saint. So it was really like weird. And then like I was showing Matthew, that's his name. He was there for some reason, and so was his kitten and my cat. And I like leaned up against the window. I was like, look how far down the second story is from the ground. And like when I touched the window, the stained glass shattered, fell to the ground. And I was like, whoa. And I opened the window to look down. I was like, look at that. I should go down and see what happened. So I run downstairs. I'm like looking at glass, and I'm like, I should close the window so the cats don't get in trouble. So I run back upstairs, and then like I see my cat and this kitten, and like I see the kitten like playing around on the ledge, and he's like about to fall, and my cat's like, no, you don't, and slaps him away. But then my cat loses its balance because it's not a real cat, and like falls down off the ledge, and I see him go splat. It's like, shoot. And then the kitten like freaks out, like, oh no, my savior, and starts. Like this odd balancing act, but no balance is happening, and a kitten falls down splat. And then, like, I'm just like, no, my cat! And, like, I don't even like my cat that much. Like, I'm allergic. And so, like, intensely allergic. And so, but I was, like, bawling. And, like, I woke up, like, ah! And that never happens to me. And I was, like, yelling, and, like, he was just sound asleep, like, dude, on the couch. And I was like, I don't think we should date. I don't know if I know signs well, but I think that's a good sign. All right, thank you guys for listening to my show. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brianna. And
I'm bombing. Anyway, Shep Kelly's. Shep Kelly's massive clitoris is so callous that her dildos take diesel. Okay. Shep Kelly's purple tits, they don't produce milk, but on certain medications, they make purple drink. She has the femininity of a monster truck rally. Shep Kelly uses WD-40 as perfume. Shep Kelly gets her period once a month, and I'm talking about the way she talks. Bitch doesn't shut up. Shep Kelly only menstruated one time when her balls dropped.
What's going on with these Ariana Grande concerts? What's going on with them? I warned y'all this would happen. I warned y'all. Don't listen to the mainstream news on this situation. I know what happened. I have an inside track on this. One time I masturbated to Ariana Grande 40 times in one day. I almost died. And now this. Okay, guys. You ever hear the Big Bang? It's when the planet got started, the whole universe got started. There was just an intense vacuum. That was ground zero of Ariana Grande's pussy. It just got so tight that there was an explosion, and then people died. So, I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Yeah, that was Whoa. Weird.
That was weird?
Yeah, just like recalling experiences, then you start remembering how you felt in the moment. Yeah, it was scary.
You know, it's like when you're breaking up with someone who lives in a shelter. Like the little thing that snaps your consciousness.
Right, right.
All of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, you're homeless. You never go do nothing.
The worst part of it, I didn't tell it because I tried.
Two cats died.
Yeah.
They committed suicide trying to tell me, like, don't date this person.
Right. And then I woke up. I have not stopped petting my animals since. I was talking about my pets early. I don't usually talk about them, but now they're ever present in my mind.
How many do you have left after that Holocaust?
I still have a puppy and half a cat. We were able to save half of them.
Yeah, his legs were scissored off by the Virgin Mary's pussy shard of glass.
Right. But you know, miracles happen.
It's a miracle cat. He's got 9 lives for sure.
Yeah, right. We'll put him back together like Humpty Dumpty.
Anyway, boy, dating's impossible for some reason. I got mozzarella on my knuckles.
Right.
And I'm clawing at the yellow pages, trying to find chiropractors.
Right. Good stuff. Healthcare providers, be scarce.
Well, who's got insurance? Who's got a mansion? Who's got a heart throb? Who do I date? What's happening?
Who's got a heartbeat?
Anyone still alive? Who has a sewer there?
Right. It gets real tricky.
I like to sweat in the basement most days. I can marry anybody where I can sweat in the basement.
Right. It's just, you know, everybody has their preference.
All right. Well, that's another episode of the Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Thanks to my guests. So Thomas Jones and Kyle Smith I talked to a little bit while I was waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brianna Augustus, the main... Yeah.
Main attraction.
All right.
Ish.
Later.
Bye. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye-bye.